HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles, KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo, a service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Voted Station of the Year by our peers in American Public Music Radio.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and this is Shiro's Radio, an hour created to turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation across genres and generations. On Shiro's, we feature the trailblazers and the new visionaries. And this week, we're thrilled to bring you an hour-long special edition of Shiro's, recorded live in front of an audience at On Air Fest, an annual podcast festival at the Wythe Hotel in Brooklyn. Our very special guest this year was 9-time Grammy-winning singer, songwriter, pianist, producer, and multi-instrumentalist Norah Jones, who has just released her 9th studio album, Visions, on Blue Note Records and is preparing to head out on tour starting in May. With tequilas in hand, Norah and I chatted about the new album, her fantastic podcast called Norah Jones is Playing Along, and much more. But first, here's a track from the new album, Visions. This is On My Way on Shiro's Radio.
You have to say solitude makes me rude, but in time we all laugh and play. I'm on my way, I'm on my way, I'm on my way.
Another day, I'm on my way.
We are
Brand new music from Norah Jones that's On My Way from her 9th studio album, Visions, just out on Blue Note Records. I'm Carmel Holt. We take you now to the penthouse floor of the Wythe Hotel in Brooklyn for a Shiro's Conversation with Norah Jones, recorded live at On Air Fest on Leap Day 2024. Welcome, Norah Jones, to Shiro's.
Thanks
and
for
to
having
On
me.
Air Fest.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah. We have a little tequila.
Yeah. And I'm right between the bar, so the sun's not in my eyes anymore. So
perfect.
I think I'm good.
Yeah. You've got sunglasses just in case.
Just in case.
So you just came from rehearsal today.
Yeah.
For your upcoming tour. For those in the room who are not aware, Norah is releasing her 9th studio album called Visions. How's it feel?
Playing songs with people is fun and always feels great. So I'm happy.
You've been doing this for a minute. So I'm always curious about like the anticipation leading up to an album release. Like, do you still get butterflies? Is there any nerves involved?
Not nerves, because I wouldn't release something unless I really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if somebody doesn't like it, fine, we're just not on the same plane right now. So I'm not worried about that. I get excited. It's fun. It's a fun job.
It is a fun job.
Yeah, it really can be.
And the thing that I feel and sense about you and know about you is that you wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't fun.
No, no.
What made making Visions fun for you?
Leon Michaels produced it, and we really did everything together sort of from the ground up. I had a few song ideas I brought in, but it was mostly him on drums and me on piano or guitar, and just like banging out a form and then recording that take. And that was the base of every song, with a few exceptions.
Now, Leon Michaels, for those that aren't familiar with Leon's work, he's a saxophonist, right?
Yeah.
And played with Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. He was a Dap King.
He was.
And Lee Fields.
Yeah.
How did the two of you connect?
He played saxophone on a few of my records way back, but I didn't realize he was such a great producer. He's produced a lot of things, but his band, L. Michael's Affair, is really great. And so I was listening to it a few years back, and I asked him if he wanted to do a song together. So that kind of started it.
This frozen pain. What was that song?
It's called Can You Believe? We released it last year and it was actually supposed to be on this new album, but then in the end we had to cut something, so we cut it, but it's out there. And then we made a Christmas album together.
That's right. That was the last time you and I spoke. Yeah. Was for the Christmas record.
And I didn't really want to make a Christmas album unless I could make it sound cool. Yeah. I didn't want to make something bad. Obviously, but especially Christmas music, you don't want it to be too slick. And he's just got a really cool way of recording things. It's not overthought, or maybe he's overthought it before I'm there. I don't know. It just seems really easy when I'm there, but the way he mics everything, it just sounds cool.
Take us, if you would, into those sessions. First of all, over what span of time are we looking at here?
Are we talking about the new album?
Yeah.
Probably about a year and a half, because after I finished the Christmas album, we were working on some stuff and I said, I don't know what we're doing, but should we just call it an album and see what we come up with? And he's like, yeah, let's do it. But we worked really sporadically. It was like maybe once a week for 4 hours a day. It wasn't long days and it wasn't many days a week. And it was kind of nice. There was sort of a low-key way of working. Yeah.
I get the feeling listening to this record, and we're going to cue up some music in just a minute so you all can get a sample of what we're talking about here. It felt joyous. It felt loose, but also you.
Yeah, that's good. That's what you want.
Yeah.
But I think the joyous, loose part is just me playing with him on drums in the room as the sort of bass of everything. And I remember like finishing a few of these takes and just feeling like, oh, that was awesome. You know, like it was just, it feels so good to play sometimes. It's like, it's just exciting. Your heart's beating fast. It feels good.
Could you recall specifically what song or songs that happened for you?
Staring at the Wall was one of them. It's also kind of fast, so it kind of encouraged that feeling.
Now, I've read that this is your favorite song on the record. Is that true?
It's definitely one of them.
It's a contender. Okay. Yeah. Tell us what you love about it.
Well, it was recorded and written very fast, so there wasn't much to it. Mm-hmm. I think he only had one drum mic, and I feel like a lot of the record was made with us getting ideas down, not necessarily knowing we were going to use the recordings, but then we used them all. Because it's hard to get away from a demo.
Sometimes the first is the best.
First is the best.
Truth seems
Staring at the Wall, written by Nora Jones and Leah Michaels from the new Visions album, her ninth studio release. So Nora, you co-wrote that with Leon. You're on vocals, guitar, and piano. He's on drums, bass, and tambourine. What ways would you say that you stretched on this album?
I don't think about that stuff when I'm playing music.
You don't?
No.
Ever?
No.
Yeah. Was there anything new that you tried?
I mean, it sounds cool because Leon recorded it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
The other thing that I love about you, Nora, is that while you always collaborate with new people, you also have these relationships that stretch over the course of your entire career. Brian Blade is one of those relationships, and he shows up on this record.
Yeah, we went into the studio for, like, there's three songs with a more full band on it. Mm-hmm. He's just so great.
Talk to us about that relationship and why you think it's lasted so long.
There was a long break in the middle where we didn't play together just because we were busy. But the last 5 or so years, he's been touring with me a lot. And he's just a very spontaneous musician. And every night is a joy. It gives you that feeling every time. And that didn't happen as much before, but not because of anybody's fault. But just like with him, it's like it always feels like that.
And you just hit this 20th anniversary mark not long ago of the first record.
Yeah, a couple of years
ago.
And it's like 20 years of the second record now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And these anniversaries, artists seem to feel one of two ways about it. Usually it's like, I don't really pay attention and I don't look back. I'm always looking forward.
Yeah.
But anniversaries are an amazing time for reflection.
Yeah.
I was curious what kinds of things you discovered, rediscovered, were reflecting on as people were celebrating those anniversaries.
I don't really think about it, but we did put out a big deluxe of my first album. And that was deep because there was a whole version of the album that had got scrapped and we got to remix it and put it out. So that was a big deal. That was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're sitting here in the podcast penthouse, as they call it, the penthouse of the Wythe Hotel. And we have this incredible view of Manhattan. We're in Brooklyn. And I think about Nora Jones arriving in New York City.
Right over there.
What was that experience like coming into New York and starting your career?
It was 24 years ago. I was 1999.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the most exciting thing ever. I'd always wanted to move to New York. I was born here, but I moved away when I was 4. And we would come to visit a lot, though. And I always wanted to move back.
Yeah.
So I was just so excited.
What were those early days downtown like?
I went to a lot of jazz clubs, and I listened to a lot of jazz. And then I went to the Living Room a lot, and I listened to a lot of singer-songwriters. And I discovered songwriting kind of for the first time, really.
Was that hard for you? And is that ever hard? Like your relationship to genre or where the industry may want to put you as far as a box with genre?
I let go of it a long time ago.
You did.
Yeah. I feel like people describe me in many different ways. So it's fine.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe this album to somebody if you were
blind?
No, you can't.
No, you just listen to it.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we play another track then?
You do that.
Okay. I do that. All right. Why don't we play the title track? Here's Visions.
Oh.
Visions in my head of running from your bed, and I don't believe I make it to mine. I hear coming through ya, and I can't believe I knew the first time we met under the willow tree. You stood in front of me. Freight train,
And I'm afraid your rain is gonna fall and wash me away.
Title track to Visions, the brand new album by Nora Jones, just out on Blue Note Records. I'm Carmel Holt, and if you're just joining us, this is a special edition of Shiro's, recorded live at On Air Fest in Brooklyn, featuring a conversation with Nora Jones. We'll be right back.
Commercial radio is full of endless obnoxious ads.
Wednesday night.
On public radio, your support replaces them. Subscribe today and keep the SoCal Sound all about the music at thesocalsound.org.
The SoCal Sound is gearing up for our annual trip to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. Listen on Thursday, March 14th, as we bring you a full day of live music. It all starts with our morning show, broadcasting live from Austin's Dogstar Studios. Then our radio day stage begins at 10 a.m. with performances by Akira Galaxy, Coach Party, Girl and Girl, Oh He Dead, VG, and Low Moon, hosted by Nick Harcourt and Jet. So if you're not at South by Southwest this year, you can live vicariously through us. The SoCal Sound's radio day stage, Thursday, March 14th, on the radio, on the app, and of course, streaming at thesocalsound.org.
Take me back to California, on ya, in my hotel.
The SoCal Sound has tickets for Mitski at the Shrine Auditorium March 29th. Thanks to our friends at Golden Voice, current members can find contest rules and be eligible to win a pair of tickets at thesocalsound.org. No purchase necessary. Tickets are on sale now at axs.com. Mitski, the Shrine Auditorium, March 29th.
Is my love, is mine all mine? I love my mind. Nothing in the world.
Nothing is more important than family. The best way to cherish them is to take care of your health so you can enjoy more of life's precious moments. Life's Essential 8 is the American Heart Association's checklist for lifelong good health. Quitting tobacco, managing your blood pressure, and getting adequate sleep are a few ways to improve your heart and brain health and prevent heart attack and stroke. More information about Life's Essential 8 is at heart.org/lifes8.
Sounds like Orange County, Los Angeles, Ventura County, San Diego. 88.5, the SoCal Sound.
You're listening to a special edition of Shiro's Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. This week, we take you to Brooklyn, New York for Shiro's live conversation with Nora Jones, celebrating the release of her brand new album, Visions.
Why is this album called Visions? And why so much about dreaming and being...
I don't know. I think it just made sense. The title, I mean. A lot of the songs kind of came between sleep and awake. And, you know, you get up and you're like, oh, I'm never going to remember this in the morning, so I better record it. I got to wake myself up, get my out of bed. You told me you wanted me to curse.
I do, please.
Yeah. And I got to go in the bathroom, be really quiet, and record this idea. So a lot of the songs started that way. And it felt like they were little visions. But as far as the content, I don't know. It just came out that way. I don't think you ever really know until after you get some space from writing. I never know what I'm writing about in the moment completely. I do a little. Sometimes it's very specific, of course, but sometimes I don't until later.
Has this revealed itself to you yet or no?
I'm not telling.
Oh, man. Since we're here having the Shiro's conversation, and we touched on this a little bit about collaborators. You've worked with many women. You just told me that you're taking a couple of women out on the road with you in your band. One of them being your bandmate in Puss in Boots, Sasha Dobson.
Yes.
Super psyched about that.
Me too. We have such a good vocal connection. And I mean, she's like my best friend too.
I was curious because of how meaningful it is for women to have women around them because we still work in an industry that is pretty male dominated. I think it's changed a bit over the last couple of decades, but yeah. I was curious about your experience, what you've seen change and some of your intentional choices in that way along the way.
I just gravitate towards people I love and I love women. I love women. You got to have some good girls around you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun to play music with women. I don't know that it's different, though, to be honest.
You haven't noticed a difference, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how it's different. I don't think about it in those terms.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great to see so many strong women in the industry. It's beautiful.
Who are some of your sheroes coming up?
Oh, Dolly, Aretha. I was really into Sarah Vaughan growing up and Billie Holiday.
And Cassandra Wilson,
yes.
I discovered.
I loved her. I loved her record, New Moon Daughter. When I was in high school, I mean, I know that record very well.
How did that influence you?
It sort of took me into a place where, because she's a jazz singer, but that album has a lot of acoustic guitars on it, and the songwriting is really beautiful, and I don't know, it just sort of showed me a different way with that style.
There are those that feel like it's hard to make the leap from more classical forms or jazz forms to songwriting. Mm-hmm. Think about Joni when she made that leap, you know, and how that bridged those worlds.
We mean when, like, the Mingus record?
Yes, oh, exactly. Yeah. Or like Court and Spark or, you know, Hajira for sure.
Yeah, Joni's amazing. I loved when she worked with Wayne Shorter. It's always like the most beautiful marriage of music.
Yeah, and it's so cool that you're connected in that way as well.
Yeah.
I was wondering about whether you'd had any feelings about just watching her at 80 getting all of these accolades and the Grammys and her comeback.
It's great. I mean, I've always known she was a goddess, but I guess I thought everybody did.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of like, well, duh.
Yeah.
But it is nice this year. I'm glad she's well enough to sing. And she sounded amazing.
Would you ever want to collaborate with Joni or interview her on your podcast?
Oh, hell yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, my door is always open, Joni. Yeah. Or anybody. I mean, I'm pretty open.
The door is open collaboratively or on the podcast or both?
On the podcast, it's open to people who are interested in just hang in and play music and open to trying it, you know? Because some people get a little freaked out by the podcast.
Really?
Yeah, because it's just me and them in a studio hanging out, talking, and playing like four or five songs together. And usually we pick mostly their material.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they don't want to. I'm down for anything. But, you know, some people get a little nervous about that. But then when we're doing it, they get excited. And then some people come in like, heck yeah, let's do it however you want. And it's great. But not, it's not for everybody, that kind of off-the-cuff thing. But anyone who's up for it is welcome.
I loved when we just had that moment and I said to you, I was listening to, and it reminded me of Marion McPartland.
Oh,
and you're like, that was my inspiration.
Totally.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I got to be on her show twice.
Wow. Anyone in the room know Marion McPartland, Piano Jazz?
It's like the original podcast.
The original podcast where she would invite guests on and they would play and chat.
Yeah, but they were, I mean, the playing music together part is what makes it so special, you know, hearing people interact in that way, completely unfiltered. There's no auto-tune or, you know.
Yeah.
Overdubs.
It's just
a raw musical exchange. And I think now it's even more special because everything is so multi-tracked and, you know, it's not like that anymore.
Do you have any favorite episodes so far? Any favorite guest experiences? I know that's hard.
Yeah. Well, my sister's episode was really amazing.
Oh, that one was so moving.
Mostly because we have this, we're sisters, but also the Mavis episode was incredible. Mavis Staples. She's just so cool.
Yeah. For those that don't know, her sister is Anushka Shankar. So to hear them in conversation and playing together was... is magnificent.
It was cool because we like dork out and giggle a lot. And then she's like this insane musician. And we've recorded a few times for her albums, but to actually have us like this in the room together was just really nice.
What has doing the podcast shown you about doing interviews? Being on that side.
Yeah, I wasn't sure I was going to be good at that. And I'm still not sure.
You're really good at it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm more comfortable with it than I thought I would be. Also, you know, you can edit it and it's more like a conversation than anything else. But one thing I did find is that people open up to me more than I thought they would. And I think it's because it's like we're two insiders.
Right.
I'm not a journalist.
Yes.
And also we're just talking about music and, but people are talking about their lives too. And it's nice. It's just like a nice exchange. It's like having an intense dinner with somebody who you admire, but you've never hung out with before, and then playing songs too. It's weird. It's really intimate. Very intimate.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Because I know in these conversations, sometimes I feel that too.
Like
we get really deep and it gets heavy sometimes, or we laugh a lot. And we bond and I make friends.
Yeah.
And we're like, by the end, we're like, I love you. And we're like, I love you. And I hear you.
I literally say,
say
I love you at the end of every episode.
I know.
Most of them are cool with it. Yeah. Some of them are like, okay. But usually they say it back and I believe it. Like, it feels really loving and sweet.
Yeah.
And now I feel like these are all my people, you know? Like, I don't know that Mark Rebier would have invited me on his little YouTube show, but he's from Dallas and he went to my high school.
Right.
So, and he's a lot younger, but it was a nice connection and we had a ball. He's my bud now. So it's fun.
And it really, you know? it shines through. And also it's such a great way to get to know you. Cause I feel like.
Yeah. I've never been this open in interviews.
Yeah.
Maybe with you, but not usually.
Well, thank you.
I can dork out as I please.
Speaking of dorking out. Why don't we hear another song as I dork out on this record? And man, this track, I just feel like we need to play this. Can you hit I Just Want to Dance, please?
I don't want to talk about it. I just want to dance. Oh. I just want to dance. about it. I just want to dance.
I love that so much.
It's very simple.
It's very simple. It's literally, I just want to dance. I just want
to
dance.
Like, straight to the point.
What a strange little song. And I like love it. It's one of my favorites on the record.
I know it is. It's a strange little song.
Yeah. And Homer's on it, who I love.
Yeah, Homer Steinwise played drums on it. It was fun.
The best. Nora Jones, vocals, Wurlitzer electric piano and electric guitar.
Oh yeah, I played some guitar on it. Very simple chords. It's not that big a deal.
Well, I just want to say out loud, Nora's also an amazing guitarist and plays like all of these instruments. Oh, no. You're really good.
I have a vibe on guitar.
You have a vibe.
But I'm not a great guitar player.
You're great.
There's the difference. Okay. But thanks.
It's got, you know.
I appreciate it.
There's levels in great. I love hearing you play guitar.
Yeah, thank you.
And like, it was like so fun to see like the BTS with you in the studio playing the guitar. And I love it. I love to see it. And I love to see you just doing whatever the f*** you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun life. I had this idea. It was like in the car maybe. I don't want to talk about it. I just want to dance. It was like, that was my first idea for this song. And then I brought it in when Homer came in. I was like, Homer will be perfect for this. And it was just me and Homer recording it. It's all live vocals, Whirly, and the drums. We did all that in one take. And we kind of fleshed out the song a little. And Leon said, that's cool. I mean, maybe we'll overdub some different lyrics. And I said, no. I mean, what more is there to say? I just want to dance. I was like, we got to make it interesting some other way because I don't think you can say anything else after that. You know? Like, what else is there to say?
You know what? The thing I loved about it too is that, like, downstairs I was saying to Nora, like, will you please curse during our chat today? And she's like, why? Because nobody thinks that Nora Jones curses. I was like, yeah, exactly.
I don't know about that.
What?
My friends know.
Your friends know. But so I just loved this too. You just making that statement that you just want to dance, you know? It's great.
Sometimes life is too much.
What do you think the most common misconception is about you? Or are you going to just tell me you don't know and you don't think about that?
I can't think about that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those questions where I answer it like that.
Yeah.
That's where you go crazy.
Yeah.
Insane. I'm like, why think about that stuff?
Yeah.
Because then you're going to want to change it. And then you're going to start going through hoops that don't make sense for you.
Have you always been able to shut that noise out, or is this something that you've learned to do over time?
I had to learn to do it after my first record because it was such a massive record and the success was so crazy that there came backlash. And whenever you're 23 and the internet is still kind of new,
right?
That's all you hear is the backlash. It's stupid.
Yeah.
And I think I learned then. I was like, well, clearly I'm not going to please everybody. So I'm not going to try. Just please yourself. This is music, people, right? Like, it's music.
Yeah.
Come on. Just have fun doing it and make music you love. And I think that's when I learned that. It doesn't mean I don't fall into those traps sometimes. I do, but I try really hard not to pay attention to that stuff.
And that's really healthy.
I think
I
so.
Mean, really. Yeah. But hard. And I think as a woman, I'm just going to say this out loud. I think as a woman, we are also extra under the microscope.
I agree with that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do agree with that. But whatever. We get to wear cooler clothes.
Absolutely. Speaking of clothes, have you had any, and you're going to tell me that you don't think about this.
I'm way too fast with this, by the way.
It's, you know, I asked her before the interview, do you want some tequila? And she said yes. And so I decided I needed to join. So
yeah, but I'm drinking mine way faster than you.
Well, okay, but I'm needing to think a little bit more than you. You
true.
Told me I had to drive.
Yeah, that's true.
What I was going to ask you was another question that I usually ask my guests, or a topic that comes up a lot, is presentation as a woman and as an artist. What's been your personal experience or journey with that, if anything?
What, like clothes?
Clothes, presentation, being looked at, photographed.
Hate it.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
There you go.
Nice job.
I hate it unless I look great and then I love it. But sometimes you think you look amazing and then you see the picture and you're like, jeez, that sucks. I thought I looked good. It's so stupid. I hate worrying about it.
I know. To be a dude, though.
Yeah, I know. That's if only, if I only know. I were a dude. But I'm glad I'm not.
Yes. Same.
It's fine. It's just, it's something that I should have more fun with and not worry about so much. But I try to.
As we age, I think it also gets a little bit harder.
Definitely gets harder. Yeah.
You know?
It's annoying. It's really stupid. But it's hard not to care about it.
Your birthday's coming up.
Yeah. I know. I'm going to be 45.
Dude, that's awesome. I love it. I feel like high-fiving you again.
You can high-five me.
Listen, I turned 50 last year.
Oh, good.
So.
Did you kick?
Did I kick?
I'm 50. Did you Sally O'Malley?
I didn't. Oh, that's funny. No, yeah. I didn't do that. I did take a big trip out west to see Joni, though.
Nice.
I went to the Joni Jam.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Ageism? Is that something that you think about either? No.
No. Look, you're talking to me. I feel good. I'm putting out an album. I feel good.
You look good. You're great. The album's amazing. Visions is the new one by Norah Jones. Let's hear another track. How about we go to Running? Jones and Running from her 9th studio album, Visions. I'm Carmel Holt, and stay with us for part 3 of this special edition of Shiro's Live at On Air Fest with Norah Jones.
Why? hello there, my pretties. Julie Slater, your midday host. Join me Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'll spin the tunes, you lean back, and do whatever it is you do with such perfection. Every week I pick a new album to dive deeper into. It's our 88.5 album dive. Hear a new track off it each weekday just after 12 noon. And of course, there's Friday on a Friday with Jason Friday every Friday at 1 p.m. You do you, I'll do the music. Right here on 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
It's She Rose Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. Now, part three of our special She Rose Live at On Air Fest with Nora Jones. We just heard Running off the new album Visions, which was the first single that Nora released from the new album back in January. Here's what she had to say about the song.
It's a funny one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also an odd song, but it is. So it's amazing.
It's so odd. I have no idea where that came from.
It's incredible. Why did you choose that song, or did you choose that song as the first single?
I let the label kind of do that.
You trust him?
I mean, I trust him, and that's not my game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like all the songs, so.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm surprised at what they pick, but this one felt good.
Speaking of the label, like, how have you seen things change since you started?
Well, Blue Note has been under so many different parent companies since I started, but somehow it's maintained a lot of the core cool vibes. Most of my favorite people from the beginning eventually got laid off. Mm. And there's two people left, really. There's Dan Connolly and Jem Kurisman, who's a publicist, that worked on my first record. And so, yeah, Don took it over, and that's been great. But there's always these other people, and some of them I've enjoyed working with a lot from like the general larger company.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I felt really taken care of though, because Blue Note is such a special place.
It was amazing hearing you talk with Leve, who you've also just recently collaborated with. Leve is an Icelandic artist, was recently on the Playing Along podcast. And it was funny to hear her viewpoint on the industry and how much agency she has. And she's just like, I'm the boss.
I mean, she doesn't need a label to take more money from her right now.
Yeah.
She's good.
Yeah.
She's fine. Well, artists have to be their own publicists, marketing people. Mm-hmm. With social media, you're expected to do everything now.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it was. So she's already done it. She's already gotten all the people into her from doing it herself.
Right.
So why would she let someone come in and take an extra cut? Right? I don't know. It's pretty baller.
So baller.
But she can do that because she already did all the work.
Right. You know? I was curious about like talking to a younger musician like that. Did you have any feelings of like, damn, I wish I'd known that when I was your age? Or
I feel good about where I am, but I don't have the brain to do that stuff. And I think
the social media stuff,
social media marketing, publicity, I don't think most artists are naturally wired that way.
Self-promoters.
But I think this younger generation, you know, they get a kick out of it. She enjoys doing some of it, not all of it probably, but I think she enjoys interacting with people in that way. And it's done well for her because it's clearly a good vibe. You know, it's not like fake. It's fun. She has fun with it, and that's important.
Yeah. And what about when you talk to somebody like Mavis, like on the other end of the spectrum,
who,
you know, has been around for so long?
She's just been through so much, and she's seen so much history. And she got screwed probably many times from the industry, you know. So it's a different perspective. But she's not bitter, and she's still playing music, and she's having a great time. So, you know, it's cool. But she told me a story when we were doing the podcast, which is in there, about writing songs and how somebody took all her songwriting credits once. And that, and then she stopped writing songs after that. And that made me really sad. And I think that happened a lot. People got screwed, you know, back in the day. So I feel good. I don't feel like I did. I'm happy for the new generation to have a better business sense.
Yeah. You know? Well, what are you most looking forward to with this new record?
I'm actually really looking forward to the album coming out because it was really fun to make. And then I'm really excited about playing the songs live. And I wasn't sure how it was going to go. I knew it would be cool because I have a great band put together. But today's day two of rehearsing, and it sounds Awesome.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm excited to play. I like to play music.
You're here to that. Before we wrap up, and we're going to go out with one more song, we do a thing at the end of Shiro's Nora called the Shiro's Magic Wand, which I don't know if we got to do this last time because we were talking about Christmas and it didn't feel quite right. The end of the show, I asked my guests to envision that they're holding the Shiro's Magic Wand. Mm. And with a wave of the wand, they could change anything in the music industry
women.
For women specifically, non-binary people. And I always get that reaction, which is funny.
It's a big responsibility.
And I know the wand can feel a little heavy. But just like the first thing that might pop into your head, what might you change if you were holding that wand and holding that power?
I guess the scrutiny. I think women get talked about differently. But I mean, yeah, that would be nice if it wasn't.
Yeah, the scrutiny. Both in the music that they make and how they look.
How they look, I've never felt like I had to deal with that so much, but I see it everywhere. So with other people, I see it. That way they don't have to worry about how they look in the pictures versus the mirror.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I've had some people respond to that by saying, like, if I could just make music as a woman and not be seen, that would be amazing.
Yeah. That's the fun part about making albums, actually. But you still got to be out there doing it.
Right.
But it's all good.
Nora, it's been so awesome to have you here.
Thank you.
Nora Jones' new album is called Visions, and she's heading out on tour. Let's see. We did Visions. We did Running. We did I Just Want to Dance. Nora, I have I'm Awake.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Should we do that?
Yeah.
Anything you want to tell us before we go into the song that I'm awake?
This is a live take with Brian Blade and Jesse Murphy on bass. So this was one of the band takes we did. I mean, that groove is very Brian. It's great.
Lost my soul.
Jones. Thank you so much with us on Shiro's. Congratulations on Visions. I can't wait.
Thanks for having me, Karma.
Many thanks once again to Nora Jones for being with us. Her ninth album, Visions, is out now on Blue Note Records. Our interview was taped in front of a live audience at On Air Fest at the Wythe Hotel in Brooklyn, New York. Our live producer and post-production mix engineer is Kelly Drake. Special thanks to Dan Connolly at Blue Note Records, Scott Newman of On Air Fest, and their technical team. And big thanks as well to our podcast distributor, Talkhouse. Thanks to you for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. Shiro's Radio is produced by me and is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Subscribe and download the Shiro's podcast to hear today's interview and all of our interviews wherever you get your podcasts. And keep in touch. Call